We're now going to study together the article Messiah Shofar by Baal Sulam. And we'll try to understand what he wants to say here. So, Messiah's Shofar. The Shofar, or the horn, the ram's horn, is this symbolic horn that invites the complete redemption, the correction humanity has to go through in order to completely enter the higher sensation of the upper dimension, the upper level of existence, and we are now standing at the door of it. So he says this, redemption only through Kabbalah. You should know that this is what it means that the children of Israel are redeemed only after the wisdom of the hidden is revealed to a great extent, as it's written in the Zohar, with this composition the children of Israel are redeemed from exile, meaning specifically with this composition, meaning the Zohar, all children of Israel will be redeemed from exile. Children of Israel refers to those, all those who want to discover the Creator. They have this desire called Israel, Yeshakel, directly to the Creator, to the upper force that manages and governs, sustains everything through its guidance, and that's what we want to discover. This is because at that time there was hope for redemption, as the writing of the Zohar, which began in the days of Rashbi, was during the days when Bar Kochva appeared. Rabbi Akiva, Rashbi's teacher, said about him, there shall step forth a star out of Jacob. Thus, after the ruin of Beitar, there was great hope. Meaning, there were several states where they thought that the complete correction is going to happen to the world. So first of all, why did they think that there's hope for the correction to be revealed to the world? The world was not yet ready for it. And the negation of the egoistic will to receive did not appear in the world yet. So why did they think that redemption can happen? It's because there is potential redemption and actual redemption, meaning that redemption can happen in the world without the world being ready yet, if there is just a small force in the world that is ready for correction by suffering. But we see that it didn't happen like that, that redemption could not be accelerated that way. And in our time, it already happens in due time, meaning without accelerating it. The will to receive has come to a point where it weakens, it doesn't find a way to sustain itself, to exist. And therefore, in our days, what happens is that we're really at the threshold of redemption. And that's what Baal Salam wants to explain here. Writing the Zohar and concealing it. And because of that, Rashbi permitted himself and disclosed the wisdom of the hidden in his books, the Zohar and the Tikkunim. However, it was with great care, meaning he didn't open it up. He just wrote it in a hidden manner, discreetly. Since he only permitted Rabbi Abba, why? Because he could disclose with intimation, meaning he wrote in such a way that not everyone understood what he wrote. But those who can have special qualities can unlock the writings, can unlock the worlds through the writings, meaning begin to sense what he's writing about. So only the sages of the children of Israel, meaning those people who are what's called Israel, meaning they have the desire towards the Creator, they desire revelation, and also they're at the level of what's called being a sage, the sages of the children of Israel. From Chochmah they rise to Bina, and the sages of the nations of the world, of the nations, would not understand, meaning those who work from within their ego, for fear lest the wicked would know how to serve their masters. Meaning, if they would know something of the wisdom, it'll stop them from advancing. That's the problem. In a different place, he explains that it's like you eat an unripe fruit. And then this could be to the detriment of the person. Because if he gets some answers without investigating, without advancing in his own qualities, then it appears that he is blocked. What does it mean? That the Zohar and the corrections and all the wisdom of Kabbalah in general is hidden gradually to the extent that a person grows, he understands. And the more he grows more in spirituality, the more he understands. That's how he advances. If he would receive answers before growing, it would stop him. He wouldn't need to grow spiritually to take on new qualities, and therefore he would prevent himself from discovering and from entering the spiritual world. That's why the sages of Kabbalah are very much concerned about not disclosing things in a way or to an extent that one cannot yet understand. So the whole wisdom is about how to study in order to draw the light that reforms. To the extent that this light comes to correct us, to that extent we begin to understand and feel. Meaning our learning process happens this way. If we have connection between us in a group, let's say between 10 of us, and then with that force of being connected together, we can raise man, a request for the upper force, and then from the upper force, the light that reforms appears to us. Then the light that reforms changes us. It brings us together, really together, gives us a correction. And then with that correction, we open the upper world with our corrected qualities. So several actions here. One, we all have to unite. Two, we raise man, the request that we want to be corrected. Three, the surrounding light accordingly gives us a correction. And fourth, we come and disclose the upper reality. That's how it happens. This is the correct path. Now, the first action that we do by ourselves, what we want to cause to ourselves, is this togetherness. And that's what we must do in the group, basically. The second resulting action from that is the man, as we said, meaning that we want to achieve correction. So, if we are incapable of that, the first and second action, then nothing will happen with us. That's why the Kabbalists wrote their books in such a way that when we turn to these books, it all happens gradually. Meaning we are here, and then in the first reading, we discover how egoistic we are, Then we discover there's no choice. We have to rise to connection. To have to be together. Then we discover that even being together is not enough. We have to ask to raise man. Meaning, there's recognition of the ego here below, then connection, then raising man. And then, if we succeed in that, then what happens next is already the upper light. The surrounding light does all the rest. So their books are written in a way that they open to us in a few steps. Every time a different phase. The book opens to you at level 1, level 2, level 3, and all of this happens through the study. So the first level of study is recognizing the evil. The second one is that we see that, meaning first we see that we can't connect, then we see that we have no choice, and then we see that we need the light to connect us because we can't do it on our own. Then the light arrives and finishes the job. Meaning our entire work is actually the first part. The second part of it happens from above. And basically that is where our work is. And what happens here later is the Creator's work. The Creator is doing that action. So this is what he's saying, that the sages of the children of Israel would understand, and the sages of the nations would not understand. Sages of the nations are those who want to try to understand intellectually, for fear lest the wicked would know how to serve their masters. Therefore, as soon as they saw that the time was too soon for Israel's redemption, those who put together the Zohar, they hid it, the Zohar. And that was at the time of the sages, the Savoim, because we find much that our sages, the Savoim, wrote his matters inside the Zohar. Well, that's already part of history. So, they wrote it in a very special way, through Rabbi Shimon to Rabbi Abba, into the book, and then there's a question. To present the book to us at all or not. They decided no. They decided it has to be hidden until it will appear in the future. Next, disclosing the Kabbalah is God's will. Indeed, it was God's will that it would appear, that wisdom. This is why it was wandered onto the widow of Rabbi Moshe Ben Leon. He was a great Kabbalist in Spain, the 11th, 12th centuries, and he passed away and left everything he had to his wife. And the Book of Zohar was among all of his books. She didn't know, this is what he writes here, she inherited the manuscript from her husband, and he probably told her nothing of the prohibition to disclose. She didn't know. She was just a woman who didn't have anything money to live with, and therefore she sold it, and she by chance put it up for sale. So then what does he say? Israel's troubles are because of the disclosure of Kabbalah. Indeed, he says, to this day, meaning to our time, it caused many ruins in the house of Israel for the above reasons. Meaning that the wisdom was somewhat externally disclosed to everyone, and that brought about the development of philosophies and all the different wisdoms in religions and so on, and it confused people a lot because they took all kinds of terms and names from the Zohar. I remember I was a few times in contact with many philosophers and ideologists from all kinds of different factions, from fascists to the very other end. And many of them actually use different names and terms that actually originated in the Zohar. And in religions, they started using these names to refer to angels and so on. And this created the development of all kinds of mysticism and methodologies of all sorts, which brought people away, took people away from the wisdom of truth, because they thought they already have something. And the benefit from disclosing the Kabbalah. So is there a benefit or not? However, there's no bad without good, meaning even though the Zohar appeared and other writings that the Kabbalists didn't want to disclose yet, he says that after all it was a part of the higher plan, because nothing happens without guidance of none else besides him, and therefore this dominion which the nations have obtained by stealing the secrets of the Torah propelled a great thrust for the development of holiness. In my assessment, meaning as much as he understands, as much as he can assess it and measure it, we are in a generation that is standing at the very threshold of redemption, if we only know how to spread the wisdom of the hidden to the masses. Meaning, because the Zohar has appeared, so it seems that it did appear according to the plan from above, and accordingly we are at the threshold of redemption, meaning we can undergo the general correction for the whole world, but it's on the condition, he says, that we know how to spread the wisdom of the hidden to the masses. Meaning, if we truly know how to spread it, distribute it correctly to the whole of humanity. First benefit. Apart from the simple reason of he hath swallowed down riches and he shall vomit them up. This is a very special concept. By being in a vast egoistic desire to receive, something interesting is happening here, that we are capable of putting a lot of effort into it, to use it as if for our own good, for our self-benefit, and what we put into it, all the effort we put throughout thousands of generations, millions of people, we later reach a point where everything that was swallowed in our will to receive actually comes back to us. And we reacquire it. And that is called, he hath swallowed down riches, meaning there's a great force that swallows up all of our exertion as if we work for it, and then it vomits them up, meaning it brings us back, brings it back to us. That's the law. Because as we are immersed in our egoism, we can't do anything about it. For sure. All our work is in order to fill up the ego. And all our egoistic efforts are eventually disclosing they show their nothingness, meaning that we cannot succeed like that. And then the sorrow that we feel, as much as we exerted ourselves in our ego, as much as we put effort into it, all that we went through in history, cycle after cycle, and all the suffering that we had in life, in all those different life cycles, this sorrow that we feel from even engaging with it takes out all of the fulfillment that our egoistic desire received in all times, and then we can use it in order to bestow. So this is what he says. Apart for the simple reason of he hath swallowed down riches and he shall vomit them up, this will reveal what is between my son and my father-in-law, and the difference between the essence of the nucleus and the upper klipa, shell, from which all the sages of the nations in the world peeled. This is because all the camps of Israel that have denied the Torah are sure to return to the Creator and to His work, meaning that everything that is happening in the person himself as well, being sorry for what he did, working with his ego and with his own intellect, and it will later transform into the correct work. And also throughout the world, meaning all the strength and effort, power that the world has put into fulfilling the ego in all the different things that happened actually returns to us as if we regain from it, as if we did a correct work in all of that. So that's the first benefit we get from disclosure of the Zohar, the second benefit now. There's another reason for it. He says, we have accepted that there is a precondition for the redemption, meaning that we know that all the nations of the world will acknowledge Israel's law as it's written, and the land shall be full of the knowledge, as in the example of the Exodus from Egypt, where there was a precondition to that Pharaoh too would acknowledge that true God and his laws and would allow them to leave. Meaning that our ego cannot allow us to rise above it unless all our egoistic mind and heart know, acknowledge, that all we did is actually not, doesn't belong to our ego. And the same with from internality to externality of the person, it in the same way the whole world must recognize that what they're going through now, the change, is actually originating in the wisdom of Kabbalah, which is the knowledge of the upper force. The wisdom of Kabbalah is the knowledge of the Creator, and then from knowing that, they'll have strength, willingness, direction to rise above their ego, and that's called redemption. How? So he says redemption through spreading the wisdom of Kabbalah to the nations of the world. This is why it's written that each of the nations will hold a Jewish man and lead him to the Holy Land. And it was not enough that they could leave by themselves. You must understand from where the nations of the world would come by such a will and idea. Know that this is through the dissemination of the true wisdom, so they will evidently see the true God and the true law. Meaning that we must achieve such a dissemination of the wisdom of Kabbalah, so that everyone knows about the one upper force, and its plan to correct all of us, to raise us above our nature to the human level that is similar to the Creator. And only after they know about that, it is possible to talk about redemption, meaning they can rise by He has swallowed down ridges and then vomit them up, meaning that we can use all the force that was put into our ego for hundreds of thousands of years since man came down from the trees and became human, and to our time. If we know through the wisdom of Kabbalah, I'm talking about the whole world, if it knows that it is from the upper force, they will want to rise above the ego. They'll feel bad on the one hand. On the other hand, they'll see where it's leading them to. And then they'll be willing, ready for redemption. Questions so far? Yes.
Is it? Can you also understand chil, richness, from the word chol, the weekdays?
He has swallowed down riches. It refers to our ego, the sitra acha, the other side, meaning that it swallows all of our exertion and then it vomits it, meaning it passes it back to holiness, kedusha, bestowal.
Can we also understand it as chol, as the weekdays?
Yeah, it's the same thing. What does it matter? Yeah, the chol against the corresponding to the kedusha. Okay, more? Okay, so we'll continue. Dissemination of the wisdom of Kabbalah the world over. And the dissemination of the wisdom in the masses is called a shofar. Like the shofar, the horn, whose voice travels a great distance. The echo of the wisdom will spread all over the world. So even the nations will hear and acknowledge that there is godly wisdom in Israel. Meaning that the whole world basically needs to know that the force that reaches the world, so they will unite and rise above the crisis, comes from we knowing how to connect to that force that lies in nature that can unite us and therefore elevate us, raise us above the current state we're in. That is called dissemination of Kabbalah to the world over. There were questions here before about whether we should really tell them about the wisdom of Kabbalah. At this point, with the audiences we're in, we don't tell them because it doesn't interest them. But it depends on us, the light that reforms. The more we work with the 99%, the more we try to explain to them and talk to them about how to unite without the wisdom of Kabbalah, without these words and anything of that, through all our different methods, talking about children education and how to connect the people, in what ways, how to achieve unity, and how unity solves all the problems of this world. We awaken, we touch upon the problems that they suffer from, and then we try to persuade them that through unity it's possible to solve them. But in fact, we're only working on half the solution here. We're not telling them the entire truth. As it's written here, that we have to do this gradually, so there's no unripe fruit, meaning that the wisdom of Kabbalah will not appear before they need it. But how do we talk about the need for it? By working with the 99%, doing all kinds of events and activities, spreading materials, roundtable events, and so on, By that, they begin to realize that there is a certain force within us. There is a certain unique method that they don't have. And especially, it is the force of how to unite, how to solve the problems. And they'll discover it tangibly, that only we can organize things in a way that it will produce a good result. That it won't be again, as it says, it's he had swallowed down riches and vomit them. But, meaning that everything we do in this world is just swallowed. But they'll see that there is something new here, something special. And then they'll want to know, what is it? What is that thing we have? And they'll be ready for the disclosure of Kabbalah. And then it will appear. We also don't hide it right now that we are studying it, but then they will want to connect to it, to knowing the upper force, godliness. And then it will be able to, it will be possible to disclose it to the world. Meaning our action towards the 99% right now is to bring them closer to us. Afterwards, they'll want to know, and to the extent they will know. Because the Creator's will eventually is to appear in each and every person according to that person's connection to the general system. Questions?
For us, the good environment is the books, Rav. What is the good environment for the 99%?
The good environment means a degree that is higher than me. If I am on some lower level, and I'm there, let's say this is me. The adjacent degree, higher degree, is the environment, the good environment. If I become included in it, I approach it from below, meaning they are higher than me. I appreciate them as greater than me. There are two actions here on my behalf. Then I receive in return their influence. That's how it works. So again, first one, two, and then three, which is the environment influencing me. Towards us, that greater degree, higher degree, is the Rav, the group, and the books, the study. Towards them, towards the nations of the world, it's Bibi, or Arvut, the mutual responsibility. Meaning something that's higher than them. And these degrees works just like this. 3 degrees, the nations of the world, then us, then the Creator. Again, or Creator, us, and the nations of the world, the 99%. So this is the 1%, this is the 99%, and the Creator, the upper one. That's how it works. And therefore, we are the passageway. On the one hand, we should integrate with the Creator, find our connection with the Creator. That's our work towards the Creator. And the other, side of the work is towards the world. It's like Bina being divided to Gal of Bina and Zat of Bina. Meaning half this and half that. So this is Gal of Bina and this is Zat of Bina. Okay. No more questions. Yes? Microphone?
But the environment is something that a person has to have on a person needs on a daily basis. How can the 1% give it to the 99%? You said that the good environment that we need to organize for the 99% is actually us. How can 1% be an environment for the 99%?
That 1% is much more powerful than all the 99% because it's higher, upper, in unity. So what if you have 7 billion creatures who can't realize where they are? It is written, the righteousness is the foundation of the world. Meaning that quantity is not, you know, how many tons of rocks you have in the universe, planets, galaxies, so many, and what? The vegetative level is still more refined than all those billions of tons of rocks, and the animate level is higher than the vegetative level, and so on. It's a pyramid. If you have 7 billion sheep who don't know where to go, and all of a sudden there is one human in front of all these sheep, and he leads them, then they all follow him. That's it. There's no problem. They don't have what's called the rosh, the head, because they don't have connection with the working force in reality, the operator. So there's nothing to compare here at all. We don't count the 99% as millions or billions of people. They are a smaller, weaker level that can't do anything. It's confused. They're only willing to fight each other. And in this world, they can only ruin it. That's it. They can't build anything anymore. So the 1% towards the 99%, well, if it was really 1%, we don't even need that. It is written, you are the few among the nations, meaning it is sufficient to have just a few thousand people for the entire world, even less, who will be those who will manage everything, conduct everything. Well, what problem is there? Especially looking at how the world has evolved in terms of communication, specifically for this. So why is this even a question, Camilla?
Because we need to organize this environment. We reach people through the mutual responsibility, etc. And we tell people, the environment is what can correct you.
And
we're very few people. And organizing this environment, this is what I mean.
That in our amount of people, we won't be able to to work towards the whole world? I don't think so. First of all, I'm certain that there is a plan for all of this from above. So it's not that much of a problem. I'm not the boss here. I'm not managing it. I just have to do what's up to me and be sure that if I do my work properly, the whole world will fall into place. Why is there a problem here? Tell me. Say, the group I'm in right now, right, the Toronto group. So, there's also, let's say, the group of the North America. So what, what is it? Let's say, all of America, what, 2 billion people? I don't understand. So what is the problem here? Why does the amount of the little egoistic people who work only according to their inner urges, it's just mass. That's it. There's no more than that. It's like raw material. And if it's confused and it doesn't know anything, sure, it can destroy everything. But all in all, it's just having no direction. This is what appears in people. And it leads them to a point where conducting them is not a problem, leading them to correction, explaining the situation. We're also coming to a point where we'll be able to explain what is the method of correction.
How can a few dozen people, 85% of them are Russian speaking or English, a few English speakers, a few Spanish speakers, how can they feel that they can change the 2 billion in the continent of America? How to give them this confidence? How can they be able to do it?
All of that is given from above. That is given from above, that confidence. It doesn't come from your audacity or chutzpah. You know, it's first the necessity to do it, the urgency to do it, the adhesion with the upper force, who gives the power, direction, and confidence, and then a person can do everything. I don't know. I don't really see why we need to make the calculation in according to the scale of this world, the amount of people or the size of the continent or 2 billion people or this or that. I calculate things according to the intensity. And that way, Bar Sulam tells us that all of the minerals together equates to one vegetative, one plant, and all the plants to one animal, and all the animals to one human. That's how the pyramid works. So accordingly, I see, who am I working with here? Who's found in this world? If they're all 100% governed by the upper force, then it all depends on me. How will I change the upper force? Only I know how to do it. They don't know and understand any of it. It motivates them, orchestrates them, and they follow what it does. My interest is only to take all of their troubles, like we showed in these three levels, and pass these troubles from them to the Creator. And I'm in the middle. I'm in between. And in general, all I need is just to carry out my role. I don't know what's the big problem here. If I look at the world, how big it is, how much was done, billions of people, you know, or let's say I stand in the middle of a busy street in China or in India, then you see the amount of people, and then what? How do you measure that? According to the amount of bodies there? If we're talking about the guidance of the upper force in human society, there's nothing here. They don't even count if they follow the instructions of the upper force completely. So I don't look at them. I look at them only from the perspective of how can I approach the little children and teach them to be a bit more directed correctly in life. But besides that, well, asks more. I don't know. You're okay. You're their guardian, huh? That's it? Yes.
Какую-то частичку своей души на свойство отдачи, мы автоматически меняем такую же частичку в каждом из 99%.
When we exchange that paratinas into the quality of bestowal, do we automatically also exchange it in the 99%? Do we exchange the same part?
Correct.
Путь распространения этого чувства отдачи не количественное, а именно качественное в 99%.
That's the way that we disseminate, that we influence them, not in quantity, but rather...
There's no quality or quantity so much here. Let's put that aside for now. If I belong to the part called Israel, meaning the part that has the head, then certainly whatever I do will be realized in them. So I need to take them into account only as children. What is their need? And then, according to their need, accordingly, I clothe it into my direction. Let's say they want children education. So I come to explain the method of correction through children education. Or they want to do... to have a decent life at home and home economics. So through that, I explain our method of correction. In their words, in the way they need, I work with their deficiency, and that's how I advance. So in fact, I each time tell them about the method of correction, the general correction, but I explain it to them in their own personal way they need to hear. Otherwise, they won't hear. All they want to hear is that. That's it. It doesn't matter what they want. I have to tell them the same things, but in different words each time. So, one person is poor because is miserable because why? Because in Canada people like to go fishing, right? So I use that to tell them. Or others like barbecuing. So I explain it to them through that. It doesn't matter what. And in other places people suffer from illnesses or drug problems, or it doesn't matter. To me it doesn't matter who or what is he talking about. I only need to take that in order to clothe my method with it. The method is the same one method. Same method. How? To unite. And I don't explain to him that by unifying we... You know, it's like in the sketch here. The good environment. What is that good environment? Where is the... Yeah, so what is that good environment? That good environment brings the upper force to the lower one. So I don't need to explain to him that by connecting we'll be more adapted to the light and the light will influence us and then we'll rise through levels of bestowal and love and then we'll unite even stronger and then our stronger unity will affect the upper light even more and it will appear and connect us even more and that way we'll rise from above, from below upwards, higher and higher. I don't explain that to him. He doesn't understand this whole scheme and method and system. No, I just explain to him simply, unity helps your problem. What is your problem? This and that? Fine. What is his problem? This and that? Unity helps that. That's it. Because the upper light is universal. It works on the collective universal will to receive. Only that in our ego, in our will to receive, there are different manners of where we don't get along. But the reason is one, that we are not suitable for the light. So I always just adapt my language. And the message The inner message is actually the same. So it's easy for us to learn that we just need to be more like, you know, psychologists, to see just how to connect to the people and pass it on to them. More? If not, so I'll read. The revelation of Kabbalah to all the nations is the revelation of Elijah.
And this task was set about Eliyahu the prophet, since the disclosure of the secrets of the Torah is always referred to as the disclosure of Eliyahu. Well, he wrote it for himself. He wanted to later... It's not an essay. He wrote it to himself as a draft, and he later wanted to use it to explain, but he didn't continue and do that for unknown reasons. And as the way that our sages said, let it rest until Elijah comes, meaning that all of the things, the problems, troubles, all kinds of arguments, questions, it is all until Elijah comes, meaning he will solve those things for us. And also the Tishbi will answer the questions and problems. And for this reason, they said that 3 days, which is... He says it's a known intimation. Prior to the coming of the Messiah, Elijah would go upon the hilltops and will blow in a great horn, etc. Meaning that before all of us would succeed in correcting ourselves completely, we have to know the wisdom of Kabbalah, to use it correctly, to unite amongst ourselves, to invite the light of reforms, and it has to affect us. The light of reforms has to affect us for 3 days, meaning 3 degrees, impregnation, suckling and mohin, until we correct everything. This is called the great final redemption. Disclosing Kabbalah to all the nations is a precondition for the complete redemption. You must understand these intimations. The issue of the shofar is only the disclosure of the wisdom of the hidden in great masses, which is a necessary precondition that must be met prior to the complete redemption. Meaning, there is no choice. We will have to, beyond just talking to them nowadays in a nice, simple manner, that let's connect, we'll reach a solution. What do you want? Oh, you have a problem in the family? Fine. What do you want? Oh, problems with the children? Fine. What about you? Problems related to help, fine, everything is fine, let's solve each and everything through what? By pulling them towards the connection, towards unity. Again, unity brings them the light of reforms. They don't know that, but it's a force that operates in nature, it's a law. The closer I get to a certain phenomena, that phenomena affects me. It's a law, it's simple induction. So then it turns out that if we pull them towards unity, they don't know, but we are pulling them to be under the influence of the reforming light, under that umbrella. Then it turns out that they change so much that they want to know, why is it working for us? And then we come to a state where it would be permitted for us, instead of giving them courses about home economics, how to unite, how to be good kids, and the various courses for the unemployed and such things, instead of those, we will teach them the entire upper system, how the light influences us, how we invite the light. Then we will already be pulling them to our degree. And the books that have already been revealed through me in this wisdom will testify to it, that matters of the greatest importance have been spread out like a gown for all to see. I can't quite see. This is a true testimony that we are already at the threshold of redemption. He said that the books that have been revealed, and also his own manuscript about the Zohar and others, only point to the fact that we are truly at the threshold of redemption, that this wisdom is ready to be revealed, and that the voice of the great shofar has already been heard, though not in the distance as yet, for it still sounds very softly. So nonetheless, we feel that it's already coming, it's about to break through, to break out. But indeed, any greatness requires prior smallness. And there is no great voice if it is not preceded by a soft sound, by silence. So first there has to be silence, then it begins and it gradually rises. For this is the way of the shofar, that it progressively grows. And who better than I knows that I am not at all worthy of even being a messenger and a scribe for disclosing such secrets, and much less to thoroughly understand them. And why has the Creator done so to me? Meaning, why did the Creator choose him, specifically Baal HaSulam? So he says that it is only because the generation is worthy of it, as it is the last generation which stands at the threshold of complete redemption. And for this reason, it is worthy of beginning to hear the voice of Messiah's shofar, which is the revealing of the secrets, as has been explained. Meaning that we stand with you now in a state where, as you lady said, that, well, who are we? What are we? We're just a few hundred people, and they are billions, and how are they going to hear us? Who's going to hear us? So we are standing at the threshold, at the opening, where through our dissemination, when we come out to the masses, we will actually merit hearing from them that they all want to know the wisdom of Kabbalah, each and every one to his extent, but that's how it's going to be. And you will have to, I mean, now you're opening courses for in the wide audiences of related to various problems with children's education, parents, home economics, depression, I don't know what you have there. Later on, all of these courses will transform into Kabbalah courses, because this is actually the universal solution to all the problems. But they must first grow to reach that understanding. This is why we begin from afar. And this is called that the shofar sounds from afar, sounds softly. Questions? Yes.
You touched upon the things that worry many of the people. Health problems is actually one of the things that many people worry about. Now, if you start explaining that lack of love and unity is what causes health problems, isn't it too, you know, doubtful that people will understand this?
Well, you don't know how to explain it, but there are people who would know how to explain it. There are already many studies that talk about that. We simply have to learn that. I'm not going to go teach you now how to answer each and every human problem and to give them the answer that everything depends on their ego. Well, no, we have to learn how to do that. That's why we have courses. You'll receive those things. Others? Yes?
We should reach the feeling of the desire of others. So what desires are we talking about, and how do we find this sensation?
Desires, all the desires are in the others. You can only reach the common people according to the desires that they have. You can't do it another way. When I come to a lecture, I need to know who is the audience that is sitting there. What do they want? What do they want to hear about? What should the topic be? What questions are they concerned about? And so on. And once I understand and I feel them, after that, then I begin talking.
So is there a difference between sensing the desires in the group and the common people? Is it a different work or what?
They don't have a rosh, the common people. What does it mean, a rosh, a head? They can't unite, connect with the creator out of lack of motivation, out of lack of desire. They don't feel the taste in that. What is the difference between you wanting it and they not wanting it? The difference is in the deficiency, the desire. So I explain the same things to them through their desire, and I explain it to you through your desire. And also for you, I have to clothe it in all kinds of different forms, since you don't yet understand that in a, let's say, in a revealed, clean way. You don't understand the wisdom of Kabbalah. So I nonetheless explain it in different manners. And we also explain it in the language of the branches. There are many covers that you can use until we can truly speak about the lights and the vessels. Lights and vessels are already the truly the revealed part. Maybe we have questions from overseas. Can we hear those questions? So, please. Do we have questions?
Alex from the Chadera group is asking, we have people with different roles in the group, some in charge of dissemination, some in charge of the spirit of the group. Not always the two combined together. How do you connect the unity and the external dissemination?
How do we combine dissemination and the inner spirit? We, all of us, as Bala Sulam says here, what did he merit? Whatever he merited was only because the generation was worthy of it. Therefore, taking care of our generation is what raises us, elevates us. So there's no question here. We have to study. I mean, what do we study? With Rabash, we used to study tests for several hours a day. We don't do that because we don't have the time for it. We have to study the things that can help us in our dissemination, in the correction of the world. And therefore, what's happening here is that we're changing many things, many aspects of our activity. Our entire activity, our study changes according to the need of the world. Therefore, first, like parents with respect to children, first we see what the children lack, and accordingly we prepare in order to help them. We can't do it another way. More. Nir from Petah Tikva is asking, according to which criteria can a person measure the efficiency of his dissemination? It's a problem. It's like with small children. You invest and invest and invest, and several years later you see the consequence, the outcome. You don't see it immediately. Moreover, here. So with children, you can somehow, nonetheless, do some small things, some small quick actions, and you see the results, maybe even right there. But for us, we operate in a concealed world. The concealed world which our ego is hiding from us. Meaning if I egoistically will start operating, then I don't see anything, or I may even see the opposite result. So it's good for us to understand that there is the raising of the prayer and the answering of the prayer. This is how I would put it. We're incapable of immediately seeing the results. But that's for us. In the general masses, externally, we can see it rather quickly. Because if you succeed in uniting them, then you see that. You see that. And the way they start paying, giving, appreciating you, it's not a problem. Yes?
Joseph from Jerusalem is asking, can we divide dissemination to quality and quantity?
Yes. The more ready the audience are, then our dissemination turns from quantitative to qualitative. If we're speaking about our groups, then unity is more important to us. If we're speaking about external dissemination, then the quantity is more important. More?
A student from Israel is asking, what is the goal and what is the means? To disseminate in order to connect, or to connect in order to disseminate?
Again, it works in both directions. Disseminating in order to connect, that's with respect to the Creator. We will unite through the upper force in order to disseminate towards the created beings. So we need to do both. We are included of both qualities. Therefore, we have no choice. We have to be engaged in both of these activities to connect to the Creator on the one hand, and on the other hand, to be connected to the audiences, to the masses, and that they cannot connect with the Creator without us. So in all of our actions, in all of the things that we do, they will feel everywhere that without us being truly there, without us bringing about the connection, that connection would not be successful, because it would lack that connection to the light that reforms. More?
Moshe from LA is asking, do you see today that the time is right for disseminating more to Jewish and Israeli people overseas?
I would not make that separation. I would use whatever I can. If it's someone that has to do with Israel, then he has an obligation towards the world, and he should know about it. One who has an inclination, well, he can maybe move to the land of Israel. It's not important. I would say that in our times, it's very... Well, depends on the types of people that we're talking about. I meet my students in South America and I see how much they're on fire. So it's there's nothing to do with... It has to do with the person, with the Adam. Now, specifically with respect to the 99%, there we have to draw that division, because the 99% are influenced by the general collective light, which is specifically for them, and therefore I can only go according to their desires. And if that's the case, I may not be able to succeed yet. Can I now come to the Chinese and change to them? Rather, wherever it opens up for us, that's what decides. The wisdom of Kabbalah is very practical work. You have the upper force that you can draw on the condition that you truly want to resemble it. That's it. More?
Jakob from Germany is asking, what is the most effective preparation work before dissemination operation?
The preparation before dissemination is connecting, uniting. There's nothing else. If you want to succeed through the upper force, then you have to make people unite. Everybody's tired. Everybody's so... it's hard for you. Say again? Let's have a song, all right, but something, well, who can sing here in rhythm? But let's have a nice, strong rhythm. So?
Let your heart speak. Let your heart listen. Shoulder to shoulder.
Together we're drawn in. I won't let go. It feels so good to be a part of you. This is why.
Okay, let's go to a few more questions before we'll begin the workshop. Yes, Camilla.
Well, you weren't here for a while. What do you feel about Canada? Did something change in recent months? How do you feel the desires, the deficiencies of the 99% here?
Yeah, I wasn't here for quite a while, although even when I come, it's not like I researched the country and the people and I didn't get any specific update about this. But I actually, what I think is this, whether I come to Canada physically or not, it doesn't really matter. Well, the situation in Europe, you know, it's getting worse and worse. Same thing with America, and in fact, in all over the world. Only there are countries that feel the crisis already happening, and some think that it may just pass by them. This is just from lack of understanding that we are in a circular situation in a round world. Therefore, nothing can help anyone. No one can escape it. The problem is a lot more acute than what we hear in the media or anywhere else. Because why tell the masses about problems that don't have solutions? So they won't know. It's like with a terminally ill person, sometimes he's not told what he has. You know, so he's sick, what can he do? Easier not to know. Why suffer for no reason? And in this case, it's even dangerous to tell the common people about the true situation, because the people can get mad and go out to the streets and so on. They're actually right in not sharing that, but the problem still exists, and it has to appear in a very severe manner. In Europe and America is very intertwined and dependent with Europe. And there are situations where things good for Europe are bad for America. And that's where some investors run away from Europe to America, as if there's nowhere to profit there and there's good profit here. But we all realize that at the end, none of this holds water, and the Americans will get hurt as well. And Canada definitely depends on America 100%. So when the situation will start getting not so comfortable, that will happen for sure. I also heard that the government sometimes mentions this here and there, no? I heard that some already speak about a tougher time coming than what you have today. Well, when? I can't say. In what pace will it reach here? But in Europe, throughout the coming year, it'll be felt for sure. And then in America, probably after the elections, they won't be able to keep it like this more than that. That's it. This is what I think. Accordingly, certainly it will be easier to work with people, and we'll be able to open more teaching venues for our VUT, mutual responsibility, and then you'll see how you specifically, this group or our other groups if we have in Canada, but in generally all over the world, it's actually like that. You'll see that you are standing firmly on the basis of the correction of the world, of the correction of the human, understanding what is going on. This is what people are lacking. You know, the biggest problem is not to know who I'm facing and what's going on with me and what's happening. It's like someone is orchestrating all kinds of problems behind my back and I can't see it. So I think that for now you're in a preparation mode. We have to speed it up. Let's hope that in a few months you'll get all the needed training and all the course material that we have. We'll have it, hopefully, all of that in English and in Russian, and you'll be able to start working on it more. This is what I could say. This is a work that must be done. Now, we will move on to a workshop. And let's reorganize the chairs here. And we have 5 minutes to arrange the chairs. Okay, fine. So let's start organizing it.